You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
On Saturday, the US Supreme Court released its opinion in a case called Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization, in which the court held that the Constitution of the United States does not confer any right to abortion, thus overruling the long-standing Roe v. Wade. The United States now joins Poland, El Salvador, and Nicaragua in recent reversals of abortion rights. As a result, 13 states have trigger laws in place that will ban abortion outright within 30 days, and other states are set to follow suit with total bans of their own or restrict abortion so heavily that it may as well be an outright ban. And in states where the only exceptions for abortion are rape and incest, people seeking abortions will still have a mountain to face. To obtain an abortion in the instance of rape, laws require the victim to have reported it. And given that more than 2 out of 3 sexual assaults go unreported, these laws set up victims to re-traumatise themselves by going through the reporting process. For those seeking incest exceptions, there are additional obstacles. Victims are often minors, some of whose abusers are family members, and most states require parental involvement in a minor's decision to get an abortion. Following the judgment being handed down, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez had this to say.
I think what we're experiencing here, it's important to tell the truth of what's going on. And with so many individuals out here, I think it's important for us to also tackle this myth that this is somehow about babies or children or life. Because the same individuals who purport, claim to be protecting life, fight against universal health care. Do they believe in universal child care? Do they believe in life after birth? From their policy positions, I assure you, the evidence is lacking. A life that claims to be protecting the lives of children, or rather a party and individuals who claim to protect the lives of children just weeks after over a dozen children died in Texas, now claim to support their life, the lives of the young. Who are we protecting? Who does this protect? No one.
This decision comes after years of conservatives consolidating power within America's highest judicial body. Since 2016, Republicans have appointed 3 justices to the Supreme Court, all of whom affirmed that Roe v. Wade was settled law in their confirmation hearings. To discuss what this means for people in the United States and what it could mean for New Zealand, I spoke to Ella Shepherd, spokesperson for ALRAN's Abortion Rights Aotearoa.
Well, I think we've got to be clear that Roe was an item on the conservative agenda ever since 1973 when it was first settled. This has been the result of 50 years of systematic chipping away at reproductive rights and freedoms. I think the end goal is the control over women's bodies and autonomy. This is a devastating blow to privacy rights in the United States. Many have been quick to point out that this won't be the end. We're going to see the overturn of access to contraception, things like gay marriage, things like interracial relationships, anything that's kind of relied on that privacy, the separation between what the state can tell individuals to do, will be gone. The court's willing and shown that they're willing to do anything. They're just wanting people to send the cases to the Supreme Court.
For people who live in states where abortion is prohibited in most, if not all, instances, you know, they say that banning abortion only bans safe abortion. And for poorer people or people who don't have the resources to go to a legal state and get an abortion, what are we realistically going to see for people that wish to terminate their pregnancy?
To be blunt, people are going to die. To be a bit more nuanced on it, it's not just about being able to go to a different state, because there's a very narrow set of circumstances where that will be accessible even to the richest people. That's fine for, you know, non-urgent terminations. If you've got an ectopic pregnancy, if you've got a complication, it's not just the money, it's the actual time to be able to fly to a different state, and the clock is ticking. So it's not just a divide between the rich and the poor, although in some cases it is. Let's not cede that rhetorical ground. People are going to die. It's going to be devastating for women and people that can get pregnant everywhere. So leaving the state's just not an appropriate solution. In terms of what's happening in the state that has banned abortion, you're going to see, depending on the state, criminal charges get pressed against people that access abortion care, potentially if they go across state lines, you're going to see providers criminalised. People are not going to get the abortions that they want or that they need. That's going to result in either people suffering serious bodily harm, even death. It's going to result in children being born that people don't want to have, pregnancies being carried to term they don't want to have, or it's going to look at people resorting to unsafe means to get that abortion.
So 13 states had trigger bans in place should Roe be overturned, which prohibit abortion in all cases. Other states will now be able to enforce laws that limit abortion to within 6 weeks. Could you just talk us through the timeline of conception? Would someone know that they're pregnant at 6 weeks? Is this effectively an outright abortion ban as well?
Oh, it's an outright abortion ban. I mean, very rarely. People don't understand that when they take the pregnancy test, if it comes back positive, it's the date between your last period and that test taken. So that's, you're 2 weeks late for your period, you take the test, that's 6 weeks. It counts it back, that cycle. So, I mean, you could miss one period. Some people have irregular periods. They just don't know until they take that test and they go, oh, crap, it's a month late. That's now 8 weeks. So absolutely, it's an outright total ban.
So 80% of Americans support abortion in all or most cases, which is more than the 76% support it had when Roe was decided in the mid-70s. Is the United States political and judicial system broken? How can they act against the best interests of their people?
I mean, I'm not a US political theorist, so take this with a grain of salt, but in the sphere of abortion rights, there's two ways to look at it. Either the system failed, it should have protected those rights, and there's some flaw, you know, Republicans have overtaken it, da 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 da. Or the system worked exactly how it was meant to work, i.e. it's a system based off a constitution that was written by slaveholders, designed in a time where women weren't people. So, I mean, depending on how pessimistic you are, you can either go, look, this was just a fault, a mistake, we can get back on track. Or you can say, look, this is exactly how our political system and society is structured around, and there's no coming back from that. So I think what will happen next will be very interesting. I think in terms of the court, you've just seen three Trump-appointed judges that are quite young. They'll be around for a long time. That'll be a generation. States are going to see that the court is willing to make those determinations. You're going to see access to contraception, things like that challenged. In terms of what you can do at a legislative level, you're kind of in a bit of a bind there, because you've got a court that's willing to strike down laws. So they've sent it back to the states. States can do more restrictive abortion bans. The court will uphold that. The federal legislator can do an outright abortion ban. The Supreme Court would likely uphold that. Even if they do a law that's permitting abortions in all states, a federal law, we don't know what the Supreme Court's going to do with that. So it really is a kind of race against the clock to see which side will get in first and see what's going to happen there. So, I mean, it's hard not to be pessimistic. I think this is the result of 50 years of a battle against women's rights. It's hard to see it changing for the better in the next few years, at least, at all.
Mm.
Sorry to be a downer.
We also like to think that this would never happen in New Zealand. Christopher Luxon, he's come out and reassured everyone that if he becomes Prime Minister, he has no plans to relitigate or reduce funding for reproductive rights in New Zealand. But at the end of the day, he is openly pro-life and has likened abortion to murder. Can we trust what he says?
I mean, we had this conversation last time. I mean, we've just watched three Supreme Court justices lie through their teeth in order to get confirmed, saying that Roe was the law of the land and they wouldn't touch that. So it makes me less inclined to believe people when they're trying to get elected saying that. I think, look at what people do, not what they say. I mean, you know, again, the Supreme Court justices, they're saying we're original, we're textualists of the Constitution. No, they wanted to overturn abortion. They did it. So I think look at the actions and not what people are saying. I would note that Luxon has said that he wouldn't outright overturn abortion. I would be hesitant to believe him on that. But it's also worth being aware that there's lots of other damage that can be done without parliamentary oversight, without a bill going towards Parliament. Things like blocking funding, things like safe areas that needs to be implemented with a minister's approval. The minister could just decide not, that safe areas weren't needed. It's things like during COVID, they were doing tele-abortion, so medical abortions, pills were being shipped to people so they could take it rather than having to come into the clinic. It's things like stopping that. All that regulatory or executive work that doesn't have to come through Parliament can have a real handbrake if you're not got someone in charge that supports a woman's right to choose and supports reproductive justice. That's what I'd say about that. In terms of not overturning it, it makes me sceptical given what we've seen overseas, but that shouldn't be where our scrutiny ends. We should look beyond simply overturning it and look at actually, is it accessible to people? Have you got an executive that's supporting and well funding services like that?
And a majority of National MPs voted against decriminalising abortion in 2020. And recently we've seen a lot of US culture wars and political talking points make their way onto our shores. Is this something we're going to have to look out for in the future if we're not already looking out for it now? Do you think anti-abortion politicians will be emboldened by what they're seeing in the States?
Definitely. It's not a question of the future. It is our present. I mean, look at the Parliament protest at the beginning of the year. That rhetoric was imported. Definitely in terms of the abortion fight, you're going to get anti-choicers that are emboldened with what they see as a win in the States that are ramping up efforts. In terms of what that could look like, we don't know. It could be ramping up protests outside clinics. It could be further lobbying. Absolutely. As much as we may not like it, the US certainly is a beacon in the Western world for culture. And the trends that we see there are very disturbing. And there's no guarantee that it won't be the same happening in New Zealand.
That was Alice Shepherd, spokesperson for ALRAN's Abortion Rights Aotearoa. Now, as Alice said, abortion rights aren't the only thing that the current Supreme Court has its eye on. In Justice Clarence Thomas's concurring opinion, he said that other precedents from the court should be reconsidered. Thomas called for the reconsideration of Griswold v. Connecticut, which established the right of married couples to use contraception, Lawrence v. Texas, which protects the right to same-sex romantic relationships, and Obergefell v. Hodges, which establishes the right to same-sex marriage. This is what President Joe Biden had to say on the matter.
And my administration will remain vigilant as the implications of this decision play out. I've warned about how this decision risks the broader right to privacy for everyone. That's because Roe recognized the fundamental right to privacy that has served as a basis for so many more rights that we've come to take for granted, that are ingrained in the fabric of this country. The right to make the best decisions for your health. The right to use birth control, a married couple in the privacy of their bedroom, for God's sake. The right to marry the person you love. Now, Justice Thomas said as much today. He explicitly called to reconsider the right of marriage equality, the right of couples to make their choices on contraception. This extreme and dangerous path the court is now taking us on.
That was Joe Biden speaking about other privacy cases that we could see heard in the US Supreme Court soon. In the coming months, at least 26 Republican-led states in total are expected to ban abortions or heavily restrict access to them in wake of the ruling. Current penalties for abortion providers in abortion-restricted states range from 2 years to life imprisonment in Alabama. There are currently no abortion laws in effect that allow a pregnant patient to be prosecuted. However, some people who have ended their own pregnancies have been charged under fetal homicide or practicing medicine without a license state laws.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.